Good morning, church family. Thanks for being with us this Sunday. We wanted to let you know the latest updates regarding returning back to on-campus services. Alla Baptist will be opening its doors on both campuses starting next weekend, May 16th and May 17th. To gather within the current 25% capacity guidelines, here are a few details you need to know. For our main campus, we will be adding a service on Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and adjusting our service times on Sunday morning. While you can feel free to attend whatever service is best for your situation and schedule, please consider coming according to your last name. This will help keep our service numbers well-balanced. Our service times will be Saturday at 5 p.m., Sunday at 8:30 a.m., and Sunday at 11 a.m. At Warrington campus, we will gather in one service at 11 a.m., and we will continue to meet online at 9:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Childcare will not be provided at this time, and connection groups will continue to be online. If you do not feel comfortable joining us just yet at our on-campus services, please continue to watch online at watch.allabaptist.org. Church family, thank you for your faithfulness, and we are so excited to be together again at a place called Olive.
Thank you, Andrea. It's good to see you today, church family. We're glad you're here to worship with us. I want you to gather around your TV, your computer, lift up praise to Jesus. Let's seek his presence today. He's with us. We'll declare his praise.
We waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our prayer.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us your glory. Show us your power.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us your glory.
Your heart, filling every part of our praise.
We want sing this. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your power, Lord. We want to see the Lord. Sing it.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord.
Sing it again. Show us your glory.
Show us your glory. Show us your power.
Show us your glory.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us your glory, Lord.
Show us your glory. Show us your power. Show us your glory, Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's no fear. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is healing, and the Spirit is here.
Yes, God is with us, and there is fire in His presence.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is grace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we surrender. Oh, come have your way.
Sing, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's no fear. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is healing, and the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is fire. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is grace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, we surrender. Oh, come have your way.
Have your way in us.
Spirit, rise. Glorify.
Father, we bless you today. We thank you that there's great liberty where your Spirit is among your people. And I pray today you'd do a good work among us as we worship. Oh, Lord, rend the heavens, open up the heavens, and come down, we pray. Thank you for the good work you're doing among us. Thank you, Lord, you're seeing us through this pandemic time. And I pray for those that are ill, that, Lord, your healing be on them. Lord, in our region where fire has been ravaging our area, I pray and thank you for those that have been fighting it back and helping us as we walk through. And I pray for deliverance in that regard as well. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome today. Thank you for joining us on this broadcast time as we come to you and share worship. John, thank you and your team for leading us these weeks. And that first song, Open Up the Heavens. first song you did when you came to be our brand new minister of music. He grew up here, and grateful to God for him. He went off, and then God brought him back here. And I remember sitting right over here, and we were doing that song. I'd never heard that song. I didn't know that. And I said, I like this guy. It's going to be good. And he's been leading us and praying that God would open up the heavens and that he would come down. Thank you for being a faithful part of the broadcast. Many of you, I've received more mail this month than I had ever in my life. So many writing and saying thank you, not only to myself, but all of these here and those behind the scenes making this worship possible. And we thank you for that. You've been so faithful with your giving. I encourage you to do that online. Mail it in. Send it however you care to do it. Just be faithful, and you have been so far, and we're grateful to God for that. John, the team going to come and lead us as we lift our voices in praise, and then we'll open the Word of God to the second chapter of Exodus this morning. So you get your Bible, you be ready, and we're going to look at the mother of Moses on this Mother's Day Sunday, and I encourage you that you'll be ready to study along with the pastor as we look at Jochebed this day. John, let's sing unto the Lord.
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. Valley, yes, I will bless your name.
Oh, thank you, team. Hey, Caitlin, stay here with me for just a moment. As our folks take their Bible and go to Exodus chapter 2, and we'll begin reading here in verse number 1 in just a moment. Hey, it's Mother's Day. So you've been through this stuff. You've been 30 or 40 days of kiddos at home. How have you guys done that? What's been the great struggle, but the great blessing that's come with you, just your kids and with your husband and family time? What's been good and what's been a struggle for a mother through this situation?
I think the greatest joy is just the time to study my kids and to watch my husband and to watch us all interact together. I've realized how much we're moving so fast normally that I've missed some things. And so it's been really sweet to get to see a softness to my kids and that sort of thing. That's been really good.
I had a mother tell me just this week at National Day of Prayer. Mm-hmm. She said, Pastor, you know, this has been some of the hardest thing we've ever done, but it gave my husband and I more time, and with our family, more time together. Kind of forced us into some time, but we have redeemed the time and made the most out of that. Well, I want you to know I appreciate your smile up here and your joy that you bring in singing. So thank you on this Mother's Day for leading out. Love you. Thank God for you. Amen. Well, take your Bible and go to Exodus chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in a moment and verse number 1 and read through verse 10. Now, next weekend, as you saw in the beginning of the broadcast, we're going to be opening up the building on Saturday night at 5 o'clock. We'll have a worship time in here. Then on Sunday morning, we'll have two services, one at 8:30, not 9:30. We're going to do it at 8:30. That way we have a little more time to clean the building before the 11 o'clock service. So three services live next Sunday. And we've asked you to consider helping us balance by taking the letter of your last name and coming at a designated time. Now, if you can't do that, that's merely a suggestion. You come whenever you can or desire to. But if you could help us with balance, it would be a great thing. On Saturday evening at 5 o'clock, if you're A through F, you remember that by Air Force, all right? So if you're the Air Force, you come on Saturday night. And then Sunday morning at 8:30, that's G through N. You remember that as gun, G-U-N. If you're G through N, you come, and then the Land of Oz comes at 11 o'clock. That's O through Z. So you join us as you come. If you can't make that particular time, then you come when you can, but that would help us with balance. We'll be in this place, and it'll be a great time Saturday, and we'll do that for just a few short weeks before we get back to normal schedule and adding small groups. No preschool care. We will have the 6, 7, and 8 building open, and some families with small children are going to want to go in there, and they can have time. Their children can maybe move around a little more. So you consider. And some of you are saying, Pastor, I just don't know if we should get back in crowds yet. If we should, well, ask your mama. It's Mother's Day, and I'm here to tell you, mother will help you know what to do. I was seeing this week Michael Jordan, when he left North Carolina and was drafted by the Chicago Bulls, he wanted a contract with Adidas, but Nike was coming after him, and he didn't want Nike. He wanted Adidas, and his mother pressed him and said, now, Michael, you need to talk to these people from Nike. And so he did talk with them. And, of course, the rest is history. Matter of fact, it's millions and millions of dollars of history, both for Nike and for Michael Jordan. So the lesson there is always listen to your mother. And so you listen to mom. You decide if you need to be here with us, and we hope you will come and fill this place up. We'll have a great time Saturday and twice on Sunday. This is our Mother's Day message as we come to look at Jochebed. Jochebed, in chapter 2 of Exodus, we find that Ramses is on the throne. There has been raised up in Egypt a Pharaoh, the Bible says, who knew not Joseph. He didn't know the past and the relationship of the Egyptians with the Jew. And so he saw their number growing, and he was trying to kill them out. And he said, for every male child to be killed. And so we find Jochebed coming with her husband Amram, and this baby boy is going to be born. And we're going to see what happens in the middle of this war on children. we find a godly, faithful woman standing for the things of Almighty God. Listen to the Word of God in Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. She had pity on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I shall give you your wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, Because I drew him out of the water. Jochebed mothered a man who fathered a nation, who blessed a world. This woman, this great, great Old Testament saint, gives us some great principles to live our life by on this Mother's Day. Now get the picture. She's pregnant, and every male child is to be cast into the Nile, drown are the crocodiles to eat that child. All of the Egyptians had been told, if you see someone of the Jews, of the Hebrews, with a male, you let us know and we will take that child. That's the kind of world that Moses is born into. It's the kind of world that Jochebed walked. They could see her. She was pregnant. They knew a child was coming. She never knew who was going to turn them in. And yet she stood. What a great woman this was who impacted the world. I'm telling you, great mothers are women who impact the world in which we live. I want us to draw some lessons from Jochebed today that would apply to every mother, would apply to every woman. But let me tell you, most of these principles flip side of it would apply to every person who would read the Word of God this day. So what do we learn from Jochebed, the mother of Moses? 4 simple truths I want to share with us this morning, then call us to commitment of our heart and life and family and soul unto Jesus this day. Number 1, I'd submit to you that this woman, Jochebed, was a woman of faith. You say, Pastor, how do you know she lived by faith? Well, because the Word of God tells us that she did. When you go to the New Testament and read in Hebrews chapter 11, that great roll call of the faith, you find in Hebrews 11 and verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. There it is. And we learn over in Exodus 6 that the parents' name, husband Amram, mother Jochebed. Hidden for 3 months by his parents, Amram and Jochebed, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. You find them by faith. They had Moses. They hid Moses for 3 months. They kept him as a little boy, And Jochebed held him for 3 months, hiding him so no one would come in the house or see. And you can just picture that she would not have company. Nobody came so that it would not leak out that there was a male child in this house. And she hid him for 3 months. By faith, she hid that child. But when she could hide him no longer, we know that Moses was a crier, because Pharaoh's daughter is going to hear him crying there in that basket, in that ark, in the Nile. And we know that he was beginning to cry out as this little boy. She could hide him no longer, so she released him by faith. They made a little wicker basket, the Bible says. The King James calls it an ark. Only two times that word's mentioned is the ark here and the ark with Noah. And we find that little basket, and they placed it there in the Nile and let it float into the reeds. I've thought about that. I've wondered why in the world would Jochebed put her boy in a handmade basket boat and put him in the river where Pharaoh said we were supposed to cast all these children so they would die or be eaten and be destroyed. Why would you put the child in the water? I would have run to the desert with this baby to get as far away from Pharaoh's edict as I could. I can only fathom in my mind that Jochebed had heard from heaven, and that God's directive in her life was make this basket and no longer hide the boy, but release him into my hands. Mom, let me tell you, that you do with your child, she did with hers. There comes a time when you must release that child into God's hands. I don't know where it is. Maybe the first time that a sitter comes to your house. Maybe it's the first grade or kindergarten that you release that child and they go into a classroom. I don't know where it is, but somewhere you will release that child. Jochebed did that by faith. I believe that God gave her direction and she followed the direction. Listen to me now. Faith is a confident response to the revelation of God, who is sovereign over all things. Listen to me again. Faith is a confident response to the revelation of God, who is sovereign in all things. You confidently respond as God tells you, as He reveals to you in His Word and through the Spirit, and as God's revelation comes, you confidently say, I count as if it is so, when it's not so, in order that it can be so. And here is this woman walking by faith. Faith converts the truth of God into present reality. Every time you find the truth of God, friend, it's not enough to know the truth. You've got to stand on the truth and let faith convert the truth into present reality in your life. Just a few pages over, you're going to find when Moses grows up, you go to chapter 14, verse 14. You ought to memorize this little verse. In Exodus 14, 14, it's very short, and you can get it. But Moses is standing there by the Red Sea. The Egyptians are coming after he and his people, and the water is in front, the enemy is behind, and they've got to cross this river, this Red Sea. And Moses says to the people in Exodus 14, 14, the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. You know, sometimes you don't even have to put it on Twitter to trust God. You just keep your mouth shut. The Bible says the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Faith is not telling everybody. Faith is telling the Father and telling only the people the Father tells you to tell. You must respond by faith. And here, Moses was telling the people that God was going to fight for them while they kept silent. And the next verse says that the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the children, go forward." Amen. Well, where were they going to go? Into the water. Then he said, "Moses, lift that rod, lift that staff." And when he did, the miracle came of blowing open that Red Sea, and they went across on dry ground. And God did fight for them while they kept silent. This was a woman of faith. Where did Moses learn to trust God like that? I'll tell you, he learned at his mother's knee how to trust God. He knew of her releasing him into the hand of God. And if God could take care of him in the Nile, he could take care of him at the Red Sea. Let me tell you, friend, if God can take care of saving you, he can take care of your life from the day you're saved to the day you die. You must learn to live by faith. And Mom, you need to impart that into your children's heart and life. They need to hear faith, see faith. They need to know of faith and learn of faith from you. This woman was a woman of faith. Secondly, not only do we see the principle that she was a woman of faith, secondly, she was a woman of courage. The Bible says that she hid Moses. This is civil disobedience. The edict of the king, of the Pharaoh, of Ramses was, every male child is to die. And Jochebed said, no. No, I will not give my child to anyone who comes. I will not do it. I don't care if the Pharaoh says, I will not. She disobeyed the civil authority within her life because she knew there was a higher principle of God in her life. Oh, what great courage we see in Jochebed when she stood. Now, friends, I want you to hear me. The government is a gift of God to us. Yes, it is. Romans 13 in verse number 1, every person is to be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. And when you go on and read that 13th chapter, God sets up the government as the minister of his hand. It's there for good for us. Not just in America, but in China and in Romania and in Russia. You say, well, I don't agree with it. Well, I understand there are varied kinds of governments, and they are there to deal with the people, and you live in that certain place. But there comes a time when God's principle supersedes man's principle and any judge's interpretation of it. There comes a time to be disobedient. We find it one illustration in the Old Testament, one in the New that I'd give you in addition to Jochebed here. Daniel was that way. In the book of Daniel, chapter 6, beginning in verse 7, you know the story that Daniel is there living for God, and all the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects, the satraps, the high officials, the governors have consulted together. The king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. If you pray to any other god other than this God who is sitting on the throne, then he's to be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish this injunction, sign the document that it may be so, and be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which shall not be revoked. Therefore, Darius signed the document that is the injunction. But in verse number 10, Daniel knew the document was signed. He entered his house. Now the roof chamber had windows open toward Jerusalem. He continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying, giving thanks before his God. He had been doing previously, and these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. He was kneeling down when he was told not to. They said, you shall not pray. And Daniel said, all heaven and hell can't keep me from praying. He didn't mind. He opened the window, come on in if you want to, and he cried out morning, noon, and night unto God, and we know that they took him and they threw him into the lion's den. Let me tell you, if you're going to walk in civil disobedience, do not be surprised. There's a price to pay. You do not do this flippantly, cutely. This is life and death issue. But if the U.S. government tells you you cannot pray, I encourage you to pray. Pray. I've been in places where I've been invited to pray, and sometimes they want me to submit my prayer early. I've been told I couldn't use Jesus' name. I said, well, then get somebody else. You don't need me. For that's the only way you can pray. There's a time we have to take a stand. And Daniel took it, and he wound up in the lion's den, and God made a pillow out of that lion's mane. You know the story. So Darius came and looked in. He'd already told him, said, your God's going to take care of you. And indeed he did. Jochebed stood. Daniel stood. And then Peter was told, do not preach in the name of Jesus Christ. And in Acts 5 and verse 29, Peter and the apostles answered and said, we must obey God rather than man. Daniel resisted. Jochebed resisted. Peter resisted. Dear friend, you must come to the place that Jesus is your King. He is your Lord. The Word of God is the principle that you live by, and you will stand there. Come hell, high water, persecution, difficulty. There comes a time when you stand. Now, I see a lot of people today belly aching and complaining and just making up stuff. But there does come a day when you have to draw a line. And this woman drew it. And her boy, Moses, knew of that, and he drew those lines all during his leadership life. Thank God for a woman who was a woman of faith, who was a woman of courage. Thirdly, the Bible says she was a woman of service. This is a phenomenal story where she puts the baby there in the bulrushes in the ark, and Miriam stands back over, and she's watching. And Pharaoh's daughter comes. Josephus tells us that she is the only child of the Pharaoh, and that her name is Thermutis, T-H-E-R, like thermometer, T-H-E-R-M-U-T-I-S. That's what Josephus, the Jewish historian, says, that this was her name. And if that's right, then Thermutis came, a beautiful lady, and she was washing in the Nile, and she heard the baby cry. Isn't it amazing that Moses later would say, Lord, I can't talk. You got to send somebody else to make noise for me. I can't speak. But in this time, his voice is what saved his life. He cried out like a little baby would, and the Bible says they brought that baby, and she said it's a Hebrew child. Miriam was watching, and she ran. The older sister said, would you like me to get the Hebrew to nurse? And she said, certainly. So she went and got Jochebed and brought her. And the Bible says in a great verse, in verse number 9, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me, and I'll give you wages. I could have asked Caitlin up here. I'm not sure anybody writes her a check for taking care of her children. You understand, this is a job that pays more than money. But here she got the payment of wages, and she took care of the child. You see, this lady was not only a woman of faith and courage, she was a woman of service. Service. I've thought about this. What did she do? For however long she took care of this little boy till she took him back to Pharaoh's court. How much cooking, cleaning. For mothers today, taking care of pets, driving the taxi, having friends over. Sometimes working a paying job and coming home to this other job that really pays. Oh, the mothers today, what great ladies they are of service. I've thought to myself how many stinking uniforms my mother washed down through the years while I played three sports. That stinking stuff, you'd bring it home, and yet when you got ready to go back the next day, it was spick and span. You sit down at that table and go into that kitchen, clothes to wear, mother. I believe mothers have been the heroes of the lockdown. No doubt about it. Thank God for mother. That scene after us. In our family scenario, this woman, Jochebed, she took her own son and served him. Served him. If you hadn't thanked your mother today, if she's still alive, you ought to thank her today. You ought to send her a note, flower, give her a hug. You say, Pastor, we're supposed to stay distant. I think we ought to hug your mama. Just encourage her however you find the way to do that. I know I'll get in trouble. You say, I'm going to give COVID-19 to my mother. Is that what you want me to do? No, I want you to love your mama. I want you to thank her for the service that she's rendered to you. Thank the Lord for mother today. Amen and amen. Jochebed, woman of faith. Jochebed, woman of courage. Jochebed, woman of service. But number four, Jochebed was a woman of teaching, or training may be the better word here. She was a woman of teaching and training of Moses. The only thing we know about that is found in verse number 10. It says that the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So how long did Jochebed keep Moses? Most commentators say probably till he was weaned. Well, how long would that have been? 2 years? Three? I asked my wife about it. She said it could have been as long as four in this culture. Maybe because it does not say that's how long, she might have kept him till he was five or six, a little longer. But the time came in the training that she then took him and deposited him. Oh, my goodness, what that had to be a sad day. When Jochebed handed that boy to Pharaoh's daughter. And we find that 40 years goes by. But Moses never forgot his roots at the knee of Jochebed. I share with you today, I believe that it's just better you never have children if you won't train your children. The training of a child is the greatest job under the stars. Now, I'm not telling you how to control your child. I'm not telling you how to do that. But today I'm telling you there's no greater blunder that one will commit than to fail to control your son or your daughter. You need to train them. Right is right. Wrong is wrong. This is the way it's to be done. That's not the way it's to be done. The future of the world is in our cradles. And mother, of all the people, dad has a great role here, but of all the people, especially early, no one trains like mother trains. Well, I remember my mother telling me to get up and go to work. I remember when God called me to preach. I was 17 years old. My mother, she said, all right, we're getting in the car. We're driving to Chattanooga. It's an hour. She said, we're going to drive to the Baptist bookstore. That was what it was before it was Lifeway, before it was nothing. She said, we're going to buy you a couple of preaching books. I said, all right. She said, we have enough boring preachers. If you're not going to study, just quit right now. I said, yes, ma'am. Every time I get ready for a sermon, I think of that. And if I'd done my job, if I asked the Spirit of God to use me and to take my mind, mother bore that into me. Oh, they train. What is it that mother should train us to do? Mom, I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you out of the life of young Timothy. You remember Timothy and Paul. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said to Timothy that he was mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice. And he said to Timothy, I'm sure it's in you too. And then in a couple of chapters, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14, 15, 16, 17, He says that there were three things that he had learned that he needed to continue. Number one was who the Savior was. You, however, continue the things you have learned and become convinced of knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Mother, teach your babies that there's one Savior and Jesus is His name. Teach your children that if they'll invite Jesus to save them, that He will do it. Mother, no matter everything else, you make sure you teach them who the Savior is. Say, Pastor, it's hard. Or are they ready? Are they not? Well, you'll get some counsel, but you just keep preaching Jesus. Don't cram it down their throat. Don't make them do something they don't want to do. Just live Jesus and talk Jesus and give Jesus to your children. There's some of you in your home this very morning on Mother's Day, you've got children that are ready to be saved. And because the pastor's talking about it today, it's going to give you opportunity to talk to your child. That child may be 8 or 10 or 12 or even older, and you need to press the gospel into their heart. Oh my goodness, teach about the Savior. Mama, do it. Mother, do it. That's what the grandmother and mother of Timothy did. And Paul said, I see it. It's in you, Timothy. But she didn't just teach him about the Savior. She taught him, secondly, about the Scripture. The very next verse says in verse 16, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, training in righteousness. Mother, read this book. Mother, teach this book. Mother, love this book. Love the Word of God so that your child will love the Word of God. Because one day they're going to go off to a school somewhere and people are going to challenge. And they're going to say, oh, that's really not the Bible. I remember walking into my first philosophy of religion class. The old professor's a half infidel stood up and said, well, hell, if there is one. I thought, what? If there is one, the Bible says there's one. And he began to challenge the doctrine of hell. And I thought to myself, I don't know who you are, but I know who my mama is. My mother taught me this book didn't have any errors in it. If I could rightly divide this book, I'll be better off than being able to pass your test. I'd write on that paper what he wanted, but I wouldn't believe in my heart what he said. Oh, Mother, teach them about the Savior. Mother, teach them to love the Scriptures. And thirdly, Mother, teach them. He says in verse 17, to love the Scripture so the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Teach them, Mother, not only about a Savior and about the Scripture, teach them about serving, about getting their hands dirty and going to work for King Jesus. Amen. That they would love on somebody else, that they would serve. We had a food giveaway out here in the front of our church a few days ago. So many people worked hard on it, and over 1,200 families came through and we gave. And one family was going to be the last one because we couldn't feed everybody. We ran out of food. I had a family in our church that had lost a young adult. And they came by and gave me five $100 bills a few weeks ago and said, Pastor, we know you'd like to give away $100 to people the right time. Said, here's just a little extra to help you. I had one of those $100 bills left. I'd forgotten about it. It was in the laptop drawer, my office, and my desk. I went and found Jeremy Portman, and I got that $100 bill, and I gave it to him. I said, whoever that last car is that you can't serve, and you're going to have to put that cone down and say, now nobody can come, but go to that car and say, we just want to give you $100. We don't have any food today. We want to give you $100. Jeremy told me that woman wept like a little baby. I don't know, food may not have been her real issue. It may have been she needed her light bill paid. The next day I called the mother that gave me that money. And I said, I just want to tell you what we did. And that mother said, oh, thank you, Pastor. What a way to honor my baby by serving our community. Dear friend, serve. Serve. Teach your children to serve. Get your hands there. It's not all about what people do for you. It's about what we do for others. That's what we're still the church. And we're to be on mission in this place. This morning, John's going to begin to play. And when he plays, I want you to pray today. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, I want you to ask Him to be your Savior today. In just a moment, while we pause for just a quick moment, if you've never asked the Lord to step out of heaven, step into your heart, then you ask Him to do that. And then after you pray, you go to your phone, you send me a text, 94000, and you just text the word Savior in that message. You send me that. You want to join this church today, text that word Savior. We get in touch with you. Every week we've had people that have been saved, that have joined the church. Some of you say, I don't even know how to use that to do a phone. Then write me a letter. You can get the address, 1836 Olive Road, Pensacola, Florida, 32514. You just send us a letter. Let us know that you've cried out unto the Lord today. He would save you. We'll receive you. Oh, Mother, I want to ask you today, Mother, I want you to get your family in the carpet today. Daddy will pray, but I want Mother to pray today. And I just want Mother to pray over that family. If you're able to do that, Mom, you lead today. If you're there, I know there'll be situations where Mother's not there, but you can pray. But if Mother's there, Mom, I want you to pray over your family today. Just have them kneel, just like I kneel right here by this pulpit. And I kneel down at this place. Then you just ask the Lord that He'd do a work in you. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that You'd save people today. You'd call people today. You'd put people in our church today. And I pray, Lord, for mothers today, that they would find the illustration of Jochebed to be a blessing unto their own family. Lord, we love You today, and we give You praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, you make sure, text me, 94000, the word Savior. Don't click off. There are going to be some ladies talking to you about this message for just a few minutes after we finish today. Thank you for being a part of Olive, and we'll look forward to seeing you back in this place Saturday, Sunday of this coming week.
Hey, happy Mother's Day. So glad that you could join us here as we celebrate our mothers. I know I'm celebrating my mother, Jean Huff, today, and also the mother of my children, Becky Huff, but I also get to celebrate with two of our lay leaders in our women's ministry. We've got Helen Turner here and Carrie Gann. Who are you guys celebrating today?
I'm celebrating my mom. Her name is Sonia Ben-Lazar, and she's actually in McDonough, Georgia, as well as my grandmother, Sarah Adams. She's passed away. We lost her last year. Mm-hmm. And my husband's mom, Carolyn Bonner, who's not with us anymore, but we still celebrate them.
Awesome. That's great. How about you, Carrie?
My mother, her name's Mary Exum. She's here in Pensacola, local. And my mother in love, Sarah Gann, who's in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and my meemaw, Marion Carnley, who's also in Pensacola. So, and all of my spiritual mothers, too, yes. who poured into my life.
We talked about off camera a little bit right after the service how you don't even have to have children necessarily to really impact the next generation.
Right. Absolutely.
Pastor talked about how women impact generations for years to come. Yes. And though this day means a little something different to them, man, we still celebrate.
Yes,
we're thankful for all the ladies in our lives who impacted us. I know you've had ladies like that. I have as well, and we're thankful for them. And I hope you can take some time to creatively celebrate Mother's Day today with those special women in your life, even though things look a little bit different.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Pastor preached out of Exodus today about Jochebed and really some beautiful things that she did to teach courage and to train her children. Yes. Specifically, Pastor closed out the service with how out of Timothy, we need to train, teach, and even disciple our children. Mm-hmm. What are the things that you guys highlight to teach or train? How do you do it? What do you do to disciple your kids?
Okay. Well, first, I just want to acknowledge all of the women who are physical mothers and spiritual mothers, because you guys, this day can be a heavy day for some people. Yes. You know, you have unmet expectations, you have prayers that haven't been answered the way that you thought they would be, you have grief. And so we just want you to know, first of all, that we see you and we love you and we are praying for you. And just because you may not have an earthly child does not mean that you do not have an impact on the kingdom of God. You are a mother in the church. So in doing this, I just glean from examples of women who are physical mothers, you know, my physical mother, how she raised me, but also women who have just poured into my life and what they have shown me, and take that and transfer it to my children that I have been blessed to raise. So you want to talk a little bit about that, Heather?
Yeah, we all have physical mothers, but we have those spiritual mothers too, don't we?
Yes, spiritual mothers, and for me, also the spiritual mothers and spiritual sisters too, that I've take notice of how they interact with their kids and what they teach their kids, and which has an impact on me. And my thing of how we teach discipleship in our home is modeling. Yeah. Like we preach scripture, we teach scripture, and that, and you know, I have older and a younger. So modeling is the best example of how we, you know, sometimes even that means saying, having to apologize when I know I'm right, because mothers are always right. But sometimes, you know, when they see that and they know, okay, my mom is, she's not perfect, but she loves me, and that's Christ-like.
Yeah, that takes some transparency, doesn't
it? Yes, it does a lot.
And that's huge. We have to be authentic in the home as we disciple our children, because they know what's real, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. My kids will let me know. They'll be like, Mom, you laugh different when you're around certain people. You know.
So. It's none of your business.
You're right. A lot of transparency and allowing your children to see your flaws. You know, not all, you know, you don't have to necessarily show all of them, but I think it humanizes you, and so in a way that they can grow from you. Mm-hmm. You know?
Absolutely. You can't disciple without being transparent and authentic. Right. I think that's huge. Right. How about you, Carrie? What are some things that you prioritize in the home to teach or to train, as we saw from 1 Timothy?
Yeah, well, you know, Deuteronomy 6:7 is a verse that comes to my mind a lot. When you sit down, when you walk along the road, when you lay down, when you rise up, teach these things. So really just living it out every single day before them, what it looks like to follow Jesus. And I've been reading in Luke 12 right now, and Christ has a strong word. He says, you be ready, you keep your lamps lit. And sometimes I think that in our culture, we are so focused on serving outside of our home that we forget about the disciples that the Lord has entrusted to us inside our homes, and they are the most important.
That's right.
And so for me, that looks like showing my family humility, asking forgiveness. My children are little. I have a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and then a third one on the way. But I still, you know, when I raise my voice, quarantine's been fun and all of that.
Yes.
But I have to go to them and I have to say, you know, Mommy should not have spoke to you that way. Would you please forgive me?
Yes.
And we read the Christmas story all year long, not just at Christmas. Same thing with, you know, Resurrection Sunday. We talk about these things every day with them. We try to model it. We try to read our Bibles and have our quiet time in front of our kids so that they are seeing that we're doing that. Mm-hmm. So quiet time is not quiet most days, but that's okay, because they need to see what it's like to read God's word and love God's word and talk about it and live it out.
Yeah, that is so true.
I love that. We preach the gospel to our kids, not just at Christmas and Easter, but year round.
Yeah.
Because the same thing as your children grow and they learn to know who Jesus is, and Lord willing, one day accept Jesus, by that power is the same power that's going to help them to grow in Jesus as you disciple them once they meet him in a personal way.
That's right.
So I am so thankful for both of you guys, and we celebrate you today. We celebrate all the ladies who are watching with us today. And hey, exciting, we've been in quarantine all these weeks, But next week, we are back live.
Yay.
So I hope you can join us either Saturday night or two services on Sunday. We'll be right here. We'll be live, but we'll be online too. Mm-hmm. So if you can't meet us here in the building, you can meet us online.